This is the Grow Podcast with Zach Edwards, a resource to stimulate the growth of church planners, ministry leaders, and Christians everywhere. Welcome back to the Grow Podcast. You know, there are many times when believers, whether they're new believers or have been saved for quite a while, more advanced Christians, when things happen or states in our lives darken, our lives go through challenging times, and we ask ourselves why, what happened, what is God doing, we're going to discuss a process over the next 2 weeks of what this looks like, and we're going to use an example from Scripture of Peter's life. The Apostle Peter is a gift to us. We get to see Peter in a immature state. We get to see him make a lot of great steps of growth. Then we get to watch him really make some major mistakes. And as Peter makes these significant steps of failure and growth, we see this trajectory in his life where the Lord Jesus is preparing him for a substantial role of leadership as the early church begins in the early chapters of Acts. And even then, the Lord is not through growing Peter, as we're going to see here in the next few weeks. And so this is part five in a series of the dark nights of our souls, those moments when God brings us to the ends of ourselves and the lights go out and we really wonder who God is. Is God there? Are we who we think we are in Him? Our very identities and even our faith can be rocked in moments like these. And we've discussed in the previous podcast of what these nights are like, what God's purposes are during these tough times, how to differentiate between the Lord and His gracious hand in these times, and then from Satan's activity as he wants to derail us during these challenging times, while God wants to draw us so close to Himself and enter into a deeper union with us as he grows us and enlarges our hearts. And then we talked about last week, what are some ways that we can approach these dark nights? How can we begin to walk forward in these dark nights in our souls? And so we are going to move forward into this idea of walking forward. And the way that I would like to do this in these next two podcasts are to look at Peter's life. As I mentioned a minute ago, Peter is a gift because he represents you and me. We can relate to the man. He makes major mistakes, but yet we see him grow in great ways. And he was a regular guy. He didn't have great theological training. He didn't have an aristocratic background, although it was most likely he was a business owner and seems to be a successful one at that. He was a lot like many of us. And so we're going to dive into this today, this study of a model of how God grows people and how He uses this cycle of light and dark times in our lives in order to draw us closer to Himself and to prepare us for new seasons of life. And so we're going to begin with this with a passage in 1 Corinthians 3, 2 that explains the new life that Peter found as he met Jesus. And it's simply this. 1 Corinthians 3:2 says, "I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not yet ready for it." And so the state of a new believer is one of milk. The Lord makes it easy for a new believer to believe and to deepen their faith to a certain extent. Well, how do we see this in Peter's life? Well, Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at Mark today. And Mark chapter 1 is an incredible passage of scripture, because we see Jesus begin his ministry and we see Peter relate to Jesus in his ministry. And so we get a chance to look at what it looks like for someone who is a newer believer walking in the faith. And it can be hard to determine when Peter actually placed his faith in Christ. My personal feeling is he placed it very, very early, maybe even when Jesus called him or even before the call. Some people think it might have been later, and that's okay too. But what we see here in Mark is very interesting, because many scholars believe this, and I agree. I put myself in their camp. I would agree with them that Mark wrote the book of the gospel that he wrote that bears his name as he walked with Peter and learned from Peter and listened to Peter's sermons. And there are quite a few reasons for us to believe that this is how that book was written. If you're interested, contemporary commentary that deals with the authorship of Mark would be a great resource for you. I'll let you study that on your own. But as we look in Mark, it is very clear that Jesus is the main character. But of the disciples, Peter is the primary disciple that we see interact with Jesus, and he is the one who becomes the model for you and I as we follow Jesus. And so in Mark chapter 1, what do we see? Well, we see Jesus come onto the scene and begin his earthly ministry in a synagogue. And as he does so, as happens in Mark, Jesus engages new territory in a public way. And as he does, the darkness begins to rise up draw attention to this new dynamic of a new kingdom coming into the room, if you will. And as Jesus enters into the synagogue and begins to preach, evil can't handle it, and it begins to manifest itself. And so Jesus casts out a demon, and Peter gets to see it. And you got to imagine, that was a pretty amazing thing, because here they are in the synagogue, and a place that may or may not have had very lively worship, but probably nothing to this extent. And here Peter is seeing this amazing act of power over evil. But then right after this isn't Peter's hometown, this is probably his home synagogue, it seems. Peter invites Jesus and the first followers of Christ into his home right after this on the Sabbath. Well, as we pick up the story in Mark 1, Peter's mother-in-law is there, and she's sick. She has a fever. Now, we believe that Peter is probably one of the older disciples that followed Christ, and so it makes sense that his mother-in-law, most likely, was an older woman, and a fever with an older woman in those days was not a recipe for success. This lady was probably very sick. And we find that Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. So in one day, we have a victory over evil, then we have a victory over sickness, and Peter is soaking all of this in as a new follower of Christ. Now, if the sun goes down, the Sabbath is over, Peter's mother-in-law begins to wait on them. She serves them because she's healthy now, and she's wanting to take care of the Lord Jesus. And as she does, she looks out the window, and people are coming. I mean, they're coming in droves to have Jesus heal them and to take care of their loved ones and to cast out their demons and to do all kinds of miraculous things. And Jesus, he does it. He performs these miracles. And he loved those people whom he was healing and whom he was driving out the enemy. But at the same time, he was teaching Peter some very significant lessons. Back to the 1 Corinthians 3:2, what Paul tells us there in 1 Corinthians. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not yet ready for it. Well, here Peter, he is not ready for the meat of the kingdom that he will experience in the future. But yet Jesus is giving him some very potent milk where Peter's faith can grow very quickly and very easily. It's not hard to place your faith in a man who is doing these kinds of miraculous acts, especially when it's all in one day and one evening. Now, we have to realize that life is not just milk. It's not just easy. I wish it was, you wish it was, and I'm sure Peter wishes it was here in just a few moments, as we're going to see in his life. So Jesus gets to, he demonstrates great things for Peter, and Peter believes, but yet it's not enough. Peter, his character isn't fashioned after Christ yet. His faith has not been deepened. It is a shallow faith based off of these miraculous signs, most likely. And so what does the Lord do? Well, the Lord brings short, dark moments into Peter's life in order to reveal the brilliance of Jesus' own light as he interacts with Peter's darkness and begins to work. In an earlier podcast, I referenced this book. It's by a guy named John of the Cross. He was a monk in the 1500s in Spain. And he talks about, in his book, Dark Night of the Soul, he discusses two different kinds of dark nights that God brings his believers through. One are these shorter but intense times where the Lord begins to work on our character and draw us close to Jesus. And these are what we're talking about here, these short, dark moments that they don't last a long time, but man, they're potent when we endure them. Let me just draw your attention to three real briefly, okay? We're in Mark, and again, one of these is one of my favorites. When Jesus finds Peter, he saw the disciples and began to walk to them on the sea. And Mark chapter 6 discusses this narrative, but Matthew 14 goes into it deeper, where we see Peter on the scene in Matthew, and the story unfolds as you know, where Jesus is walking and these guys are afraid, but yet Peter he takes a risk. He makes a step of faith that is very significant and is worthy of being highlighted. He takes a step out of the boat and says, Jesus, this is you, call to me. Jesus says, come on. So Peter takes a step to him. As he does in the story, he's walking on water, and then he sees the waves and the wind, and he takes his eyes off of the Lord and sinks. Jesus picks him up, and the apostles and Peter are both confronted on their lack of faith in the Lord. Well, moving forward in Mark 6, 45 through 52, there's the narrative where Jesus begins to ask the guys, hey, look, everybody's talking about me. Who do folks say that I am? And they begin the discussion, and Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, okay, now the important question is, who do you say I am? And again, Peter, taking the lead, makes that great statement, you are the Christ, that wonderful statement, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus praises him for that statement. And then right after this moment, what happens? Well, this great victory happened where Peter begins to understand who Jesus is and makes this proclamation, wonderful proclamation. And then Jesus says, you're right. And hey, I've come to die for the sins of the world. I'm going to be crucified on a cross. And then Peter begins to step in and says, oh Lord, may that not ever happen. May that never be. And Peter just told the Lord that he was the Lord, the Son of God. And now Peter is saying, Lord, you are wrong in this situation. You are the Lord. You are the Son of God, the Messiah. But yet in this situation, you're wrong and I'm right. Well, the Lord makes this statement right after his praise of Peter for his confession. The Lord Jesus tells Peter, get behind me, Satan. What a moment for Peter. You have to feel for the man. Great victory and then an incredible crash. And then there's one more that I want to discuss. That's the Transfiguration in Mark chapter 9, verse 2 through 13. Jesus on the mountain, he takes Peter, James, and John with him, and we know the the story, Jesus is transfigured, meaning he shone brightly. He was in a much more glorious state. And Elijah and Moses appear with the Lord. And it's an incredible moment. The glory is there. These guys are with their, Peter, James, and John are with their national and faith heroes. And Peter gets caught up in the moment like we're all prone to do. And he says he's going to build a tabernacle, a worship center, a place where these guys could dwell and gain worship. And he's going to do one for Moses, Elijah, and also one for Jesus. Well, that was the wrong answer, because the Father booms from heaven, "This is my son." And when the guys look up, they don't see anybody except Jesus alone. And talking about a party killer, Peter ruined the party. But again, the Lord was in the middle of all of this because he was working in Peter's life for Peter's good. So we see that these short, dark moments in Peter's life were definitely there. They were definitely dark because they were uncomfortable. They caused Peter to enter into a state where his faith was tested. You might say on occasion it failed. You could also say that his insight was of the Lord was shown to be lacking. There's a lot of things that you could say that Peter learned about himself during these moments, but these are these things that had to grow in Peter's life. These elements of his character that had to grow. These sinful ways of thinking, and we all have them, and Peter had them, and these things had to be shown to Peter. And then Peter had to deal with these with the Lord, and then to move from them and let the Lord heal him from these. And so after these short dark moments, there's always light. There's maturation that happens, and we leave those dark moments and enter into a time where we get to see good things come out of our lives, just like Peter was able to do. But we need to stop here for just a moment and point a few things out here. These short, dark moments are not designed to be zingers or for God to get us or for us to be punished for our sins. No, if we're children, just like Peter was, this is the Lord's masterpiece at play as he is chiseling off parts of our hearts and our lives that have to go. Areas in our character that must be matured for us to be able to embrace all that we can of Christ in a progressive fashion. As we learn more and more about him, we have to have a deeper capacity to receive and to believe more and more of him. And it's these moments where they feel dark because the Lord is illuminating the dark parts of our heart. And they're painful because we love the Lord and we don't want to experience rebuke. We don't want to experience failure. And quite frankly, we want to be like Peter. We want to be a leader. We want to be someone who's looked at as someone to follow. And there are times when the Lord knows that we've got to be humbled, and there's no other way to do that in these moments. And so I've mentioned many things in just a brief period of time, and this is not meant to be a systematic, linear discussion of what God is doing in these moments, because there's so many things that God is doing. But they can all be boiled down to the fact that he wants us to understand our humanity and the weaknesses that we have. Let him crucify our sins by his crucifixion power, and then to raise us up so that we know him more, and we are in a deep union with him. And then on a practical level, he wants to prepare us for future service in his kingdom. The Lord isn't about creating just doers only. He wants us to be loved and to be his bride and to revel in the experience of being his children. But yet, he also has a purpose for us to do. And so it's this relational, the sanctifying, and this serving aspect, all these things that the Lord is doing in us through these short, dark times. And so for this podcast, we're gonna stop here, because the life of a believer quite frequently is this: God leading us into moments where things are easy, and he's trying to teach us some things in a very elementary way where we can really grasp them. But then there's the deeper, the things that we can't learn really any other way than going through difficulty, but yet knowing that just like Peter went through those things with the love of the Lord walking right there with him, the Lord is walking right there with us. And we can walk trusting that just as he was drawing Peter to himself and teaching him more about who he was and preparing Peter to receive more of who he was learning Christ to be in a relationship with Jesus. And then of course, preparing Peter to be a more effective servant, as we see in the Gospels and certainly in Acts. These are great things. And next week, we're going to get a chance to talk about something that's very sobering. And that is the deep, dark nights of our souls. Not just the momentary foots in the mouth, or when we kill the party, if you will, or we quit walking on water and we sink. But those moments when God is doing something radical in us. Not just a renovation, but a major transformation. And that's where we're going to land next week. And we're going to use Peter again as an example for this. And so as you think this week, think about these moments of light where God is teaching us. Think about these intense but short dark moments when God is really highlighting things in our lives that they've got to change. And as these things happen, let the Lord walk you through them, and don't fight them. Don't fight them. Submit. And let God do all he wants to do, because friends, when we turn these things over to him and begin to look at these circumstances with spiritual eyes and know that our Savior is walking right there with us to sanctify us through his Holy Spirit, to make us more of who he wants us to be. And really the most important thing to us really is to know him in a much deeper way. It will be very, very worth it as we walk with the Lord. So until next time, may God bless you as you submit to his work and look with new eyes into the moments of your life. Again, thanks for listening, and I look forward to talking to you next week. God bless you.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to the Grow Podcast. Additional resources for your growth can be found at ZacharyCEdwards.com. God bless you, and keep growing.